In terms of what's called Bas Lechol Teraisa, what's called Bas Lechol Derabanan. Now we get into some very real practical application, perhaps one of the most common practical applications, and that's the very notion that if a person ate basar, so he is not permitted to eat cholov, to have gvina, to have milchik food, after he ate basar. But this is really a din derabanan, not just a din derabanan, it's an extension of a din derabanan. To go back to some of the things we spoke about when we introduced bas lechol, mid araisa, bas lechol is only prohibitive if it's derech bishul. If you take a piece of meat and you cook it up in a pot of milk, and then you eat that food together, that's an issa deraisa. That's an issa deraisa bishul and issa deraisa achila. But whenever it's not derech bishul, even if you're eating literal meat and literal milk together, that would at worst only be midirabonah. So the person takes a slice of salami and puts a slice of cheese on as a cold salami and cheese sandwich, so that's basa b'cholav only midirabonah because it's not called derech bishul. As an extension of that din derabonah, Chazal went one step further. Chazal said that even if one is not literally eating real meat and real milk together, but if one merely ate meat at one time and he still has some kind of a residue of that meat, we'll see exactly what that residue is, so even at that point one is not permitted to eat milchik. So again, that's in a certain sense a double derabanan. Mid derais, it's only prohibited if it's derech bishul. Mid derabanan, it's prohibited if it's together, and even if it's not literally together but it's somewhat figuratively together, that's also considered to be the equivalent of together on a level of derabanan. So that's the beginning of the sugya of achal basar liachal gvina. Of course, the whole idea of a person being fleishik and not eating milk for a certain amount of time passes, that's found in this sugya maseches chulin. So the first of the mamakamos, we'll pick it up from, well, it's four lines from the bottom of the first of the Mamakamos. Kufa Amar Rav Chisda. The Gemara says, Kufa Amar Rav Chisda, Ochel Basar, Osir Lechol Gvina. The person ate meat, he is not permitted to eat cheese afterwards, whereas Gvina Mutta Lechol Basar. If he ate cheese first, then he is presumably permitted to eat meat. We're going to see as we go on, as the Sugya develops, what the parameters of that second statement are. But that's the statement of Rav Chisda, Ochel Basar, so Ochel Basar, Osir Lechol Gvina. The Gemara never explains exactly why that's so. Why should that be even the Derabanan? I ate the meat already a while ago, so why should that consider to be eating basar and chalas together? So it's unclear from the Gemara. Now the Gemara continues with the Shaila. Amalei Rav Acha bar Yosef Rav Chisda, basar sheben hashinayim mahu. What is the status of meat that is found in between the teeth? Now we're not sure exactly where that Shaila is either. We'll see as we go on. But the Gemara says, Kari alei habasar odenu ben shinayim. So he responded with the pasuk from Parshas Bahaloscha. It says, Abasar odenu ben shinayim. Meat was still in between their teeth. So the question is, what does that have to do with anything? So there is a major machlekes of Rishayim between Rashi and Rambam. What exactly this Gemara is all about? What the source for this Isser is all about? Why is it that if a person eats meat, he's not permitted to eat milk? And what is it, the significance of this Basar sheben hashinayim? So Rashi, in the second of the Marmakamos, the Rashi comments, also lechol gvina, yishum debasar moti shuman v'nidbak b'peh u'marach b'ta'amo. Rashi says the reason why a person is fleishik until a certain amount of time passes is because the basar gives off a taste, gives off a flavor, and it still had that taste in the mouth until X amount of time passes. We don't know yet what the X is, but the goal of waiting a certain amount of time is to get rid of that ta'am that's inside the mouth. So according to Rashi, we already know what the reason for this isser is. Why is ochel basar, asur lechol gvina? Because of the tam ha-peh, because of the taste, the tam ha-basar that remains in the peh. If so, what is the Gemara's next question about basar shebein ha-shinayim? So apparently, according to Rashi, that has nothing to do with the reason of the halacha. We already know the reason. The reason has nothing to do with meat in the teeth. The reason has to do with taste of the meat inside one's mouth. The Gemara is asking another question, namely, is basar shebein ha-shinayim still considered to be basar? Would one still have to be concerned with waiting after having basar shebein ha-shinayim? Maybe that's a totally different question. But the basar shebein ha-shinayim is not the reason for the original halacha of after a person ate basar not eating milchik. However, the Rambam learned the Gemara totally different. The Rambam, the third of the Mamakamos, tells us, in Hilchos Machalos Asuros Per Kesla Kavches, Mi she'ochel basar b'tchila, bein b'sar b'eim, bein b'sar of, lo yochel achar av cholof, ad shiya b'nein k'day, shiya sud acheres, hu k'mo she'i shos. We'll see how the Rambam got that in a moment. B'vei ha'basar shol bein ha'shinayim, she'ein osar b'kinuach. So the Rambam says the reason why you have to wait X amount, and the Rambam happens to be the first one to put that number X being 6, the Rambam says the reason why you have to wait a certain amount is specifically because of the basar shebein hashinayim, because meat is stuck in between the teeth, and you're not going to be able to remove that meat so fast. So apparently the Rambam is saying any residue of meat inside the rest of your mouth, No big deal. You wash it out, you'll take something else to eat, you'll be able to do the kaneach, you'll be able to clean it out. But the basa shebeni shinayim, that's going to be much tougher. And therefore, you have to wait a certain amount of time in order for that to clear. How exactly does that solve the problem, waiting that amount of time? So apparently the Rambam Shita is that once a certain amount of time has passed, even if there's physically basa left between the shinayim, we just ignore that. It's considered to have been there for long enough that it's considered to be basa or nifkam, or whatever the reason is, and the halacha no longer reckons with it. So according to the Rambam, the goal of the waiting period is to avoid any problems of basa shebein shinayim. According to Rashi, the goal of the waiting period is to avoid problems of the tam habasa shebepeh, because of the taste of the meat in one's mouth, and according to the Rambam, it's for a totally different reason. So bein Rashi, bein Rambam, there is an isser called achol basa liyachol gvina. We're not sure what the reason is, but the isser for sure exists, and as we said already at the beginning of the year, it's for sure only the Rabbanan, it's not derech bishul, it cannot possibly be an isser deraisa. But a kol parim, the halacha clearly is. The question becomes now, what has to transpire before one is permitted to eat the gvina? So the Gemara used the phrase, achol basar lo yachol gvina. The question is, until when? What point do we say that the person is what we call no longer fleishitz? So we go back to the Gemara again, back to the first of the Mamakamos. The Gemara tells us the following comment. It's three lines from the bottom. Right where we left off, in the middle of the line, Alamar Ukva. But Ukba said concerning this halacha of waiting with meat and milk, so he compares himself. He said, I'm like vinegar, like the son of wine. Maybe my father was wine, that was good. Wine is a good tasty thing. And I'm like vinegar, I'm not as good as my father. What does that mean? The Ilu Abba, because he's commenting about his father, used to have the following practice. When he would eat meat, now, he would wait until tomorrow at the same time. Then he would wait 24 hours before partaking of milk. Says, I don't do that much. I don't eat it in that meal, but the next meal I would partake of milk. So Ra'ukva is in a certain sense bemoaning the fact that his father was the mumach. His father had this chumra of waiting a full 24 hours. And Ra'ukva said, I don't follow that, but I do follow at least l'suda l'suda. We usually assume that if Ra'ukva is telling us about his own practice, so he is commenting on the fact that his father was a little more strict than he was, but not that Ra'ukva was saying that he's violating an aveira. It would be very funny for Ra'ukva to say, I'm doing something that's really also. So it sounds like Ra'ukva is saying, what I'm doing is the real din, that's the halacha. My father had a bit of chasidus, he had extra chumras, he was noyeg, which for whatever reason Ra'ukva didn't follow in his father's footsteps. But in terms of the ikra din, it sounds like the halacha is governed by the phrase, misu'udah l'su'udah. That was the phrase that Ra'ukva used, that b'hasu dasad lo'achilna, in this meal I don't partake, but l'su'udah sacharisa, I would eat it. So now the question becomes, what is considered to be meisud l'su'udah? This is the shear, this is the amount of time that you have to wait in order to solve whatever the problems are. Whether you're concerned with the problem of re'ech haper, whether you're concerned with the problem of basa shebein shinayim, this is going to be the magic number, meisud l'su'udah. So how much does that translate to? So there's a major machlokes in Rishonim, just how to type, just translation of that phrase, meisud l'su'udah. So we saw already the Rambam, back to the third of Mamakamos comes for a moment. The Rambam said, "Mishachol basa b'tchila ben b'sar behemah ben b'sar of liyoch lachrof cholot atche b'neyan kidei shir seuda acheres." That little gimel is not from the Rambam. That's the Marmachom and something else. Kidei shir seuda acheres. So the Rambam says that when we say mesuda seuda, it doesn't mean literally from one meal to the next. It means the amount of time that usually transpires from one meal to the next. Through kamoshe shos, he says approximately 6 hours. Where did the Rambam get that magic number 6 hours from? So the Mefarshim explained that he got it from the Gemara Maseches Pesachim, but the Gemara describes at what times of the day a Talmid Chacham would usually eat. The Gemara says that a Talmid Chacham doesn't eat first thing in the morning after he finishes davening Shacharis, then he learns a little Daf Yomi, it's Mishnah Berurah, it's Halacha, whatever, waiting a little time. Then eventually, later on in the day, he starts eating. He doesn't wait till 3 o'clock in the afternoon, so he eats around Shashisha. So about the 6th hour or so, that's the Maichel Talmid Chacham. That's approximately when the Talmid Chacham eats his Sudas Boker. And then we all know that people eat the Sudas Erev just about as it's getting dark. That's the Sugya is the beginning of Sefas Brachos. So it comes out, says the Mefarshim, say the Mefarshim, Das Rambam, it's approximately 6 hours. It's what Ufa was describing himself. He was obviously a Talmid Chacham. So he probably ate his early meal around close to noontime, and he ate his Sudas Erev close to evening time. So that's approximately 6 hours. Kamoshe shows Minabos Alagvina. That's where the Rambam got it from. So the Rambam said, Misud L'Suda doesn't mean literally the meal. meal that you personally are eating today, it means some kind of a shiur, some kind of a number that Chazal put on, which means approximately 6 hours. There is a lot of discussion about why the Rambam uses the phrase kamoshe shos, a little bit of a strange phrase, that the Rambam should have been a little bit more exact and said, for who she shos, and it's literally 6 hours. So there were some who wanted to suggest that maybe the Rambam was alluding to the fact that it's not exactly written in stone 6 hours. It's approximately 6 hours, which would mean that even perhaps maybe 5.5 hours, maybe into the 6th hour, different numbers, different poskim have different ways of chiseling away at the magic number 6 hours, because they took the kamoshe shos a little bit in a lenient sense. There are many poskim who said that the Rambam didn't mean that. The Rambam didn't mean kamoshe shos. The Rambam meant 6 hours. So why did he write kamoshe shos? In the olden days, it was very hard to be absolutely exact about an hour. You know, when we think of times, so we think like Vasikin, you know, 7:18 and 47.5 seconds. In the olden days, Vasikin meant you looked outside and you see the sun is rising, so you daven Shmoneh Esrei. It was a different mindset. When is Chatzos exactly? We know. Kachatzos alayim and niyot tevizach l'tzayim. It's very hard to know exactly when Chatzos is. So today, with all that charts, all that maizmanim, we can figure out to the millisecond when Chatzos is. We can figure out exactly how many 6 hours is. So the Rambam was describing for a normal person. A normal person has no idea exactly what time it is in the olden days. They have clocks. So the normal person is trying to evaluate approximately, it's about 6 hours. He remembers he ate lunch, it was about half a day ago. So it was approximately half a day ago. Now it's a half a day is over, it's approximately 6 hours. So the Rambam is saying it's okay. If you really know that the 6 hours haven't passed, so then the Rambam never really said it to Mutter. The Rambam is just saying that if it appears to you that 6 hours have passed, that's probably okay. This is probably also the reason why the Rambam uses the same Lashon, and it's a little bit past the Chanukah, but not too much past Chanukah, but the Rambam uses the same Lashon where he describes how long the Chanukah candles have to burn. The Gemara never gives the number in terms of minutes. The Gemara uses the shear of Achetichla Regem and Ashuk, the amount of time that people are generally walking in the marketplace. So in the olden days, people didn't walk from very late. It got dark. People went home. Now, Achetichla Regem and Ashuk means a much, much later. That's why we're not so machmir in terms of lighting. The Dina of the Gemara. The Gemara says you have to light mamish at the right time. If you light past the point of Achetichla Regem and Ashuk, so you're not yet saying. So the Bishanim write that we're not so machmir in that. First of all, we light indoors anyway, so we're lighting for the B'nai Habayis. In the old days, we used to light outdoors. And second of all, Achetichla Regem and Ashuk in post-electricity, so that's much, much later, obviously, than it was in the olden days. So when the Rambam describes what, in his day, in Cairo, what was Achetichla Regem and Ashuk? So the Rambam writes, Kichat Yishah. He writes approximately a half hour. That's the source for the idea that the candles have to be lit for about a half hour. How come the Rambam writes, Kichat Yishah? Why doesn't he write, Kichat Yishah without a chof? So the answer is, no one's sitting with a stopwatch to see whether the candles are going out. The shear is, if it appears to us that they're going for about a half hour. So as long as it appears to be approximately a half hour, that's good. Because I'll work the stock and it has to be exactly to the millisecond a half hour. Sometimes we have such a different mindset in terms of Zman Hayom, because we have everything computerized, everything's on our clocks and our phones, and we know to the split second what's going on, so we tend to forget all the dinim that we have in Erev Pesach, the fact that we can't eat chametz 2 hours earlier before the real Zman, is all because in the olden days they used to be in the shark and they get the sun, so it was a cloudy day, so we have so many dinim that are the reason why you're not supposed to do mitzvahs until nates, even though Minat Torah it's really the morning after Los HaShachar, because also Chazal were afraid if it's a cloudy day you won't be able to tell when the sun rises. So the whole mindset is so different as Zman Hazeh. Remember, I was once at in Rosh HaNikra, a beautiful view up at Rosh HaNikra, and it was right before Shkia. And there were a couple of people were there, and they were trying to decide whether it was too late to have mincha. They were trying to figure out whether it was Shkia or not. So they were pilfering with their phones, with this, that. I said, I'm standing there watching the sun. I said, you have one of the most beautiful sunsets in the world. I said, it dips over the Mediterranean. You can't get a clear picture of that. And somehow, it never dawned on them to look at the sun to see whether it was Shkia or not. So yeah, that's what the Rambam seems to be saying here also. Kichat Yishah, Kishay Yishah, the Rambam didn't mean it with that much precision. Whatever it is, the Rambam clearly puts a number on, and he's the first one to put into print this idea of 6 hours. But in the fourth of the Rambam Kamos, the Sishitas HaToysus is radically different from the Rambam. Toysus defines the Suda Sacharis in a very, very different way. So Toysus in the fourth of the Rambam Kamos in Chulin Kuvhamid Aleph, the Suda Sacharis Achilna, love the Suda Sacharigin Lasos Achashachas Viachas Arvis. So Toysus is saying, in contrast to the Rambam, Don't interpret that from one suda to the next means from morning meal to the evening meal, which would mean such a significant amount of time. El afidu li alter says misuda lasuda can be very, very short, even immediately. And silik ashulchan or birech mutter, he says, as long as you're benched. So as I finish my meal, and now I'm starting another meal 20 minutes later, that's called misuda lasuda. So what plug rabbanan, the rabbanan never made distinctions between whether there was a lot of time passing between meals or a short amount of time passing between meals. What plug rabbanan. Now it's funny because lo plug is usually a phrase that we use to describe a chumrah. But plug means that even though the reason for this chumrah doesn't apply, but we're going to apply it anyway because to keep the din d'rabbanan uniform. So here, we're using that same principle, but lakula. Since most of the time, meals are not immediately one of the heels of another. Usually there's a little bit of a time, a few hour break. Even though you personally are having a very, very short span, that's also the lo plug rabbanan lakula. That's what Taisa seems to be saying. So the Acharonim point out that according to this Tosfos, even though the reasons the reason for the waiting are not really fulfilled. Because remember, both according to Rashi and according to the Rambam, there was some kind of a physical need for waiting, either to remove the taste of the meat in the mouth or to remove the meat stuck between the teeth. So according to the Rambam, if it's an objective number called 6 hours, so I understand, after 6 hours, we can assume the taste is gone. After 6 hours, whatever's meat stuck in between the teeth is probably negligible. But according to Tosfos, that this fluctuates. If I personally finish my meal at 2, and I decide to eat another meal at 2:30, so I can have my ice cream right after I just had my flesh shakes, as long as I benched in between, how in the world does benching solve the tooth problem? So the answer is it doesn't really solve the tooth problem. The whole thing was on a midrash button anyway. There are all these reasons on midrash rabbanan, because minat Torah, nothing is derech bishul, so minat Torah, you don't have to wait at all. Since the whole thing is on a midrash rabbanan, hey mamru ve mamru, the Chacham instituted the prohibition midrash rabbanan, and they were lenient as long as a quote-unquote meal has passed. And Tosfos has a very, very different version of what it means that meal has passed. It doesn't have to be 6 hours, it doesn't have to be any amount of hours, as long as the person benched. So how do we pass the halacha in the shayla, the machlokes from one extreme to another? The Rambam says it's an objective 6 hours, and Tosfos says it's mamish nothing, it's just the benching and then moving on. So we take a look in the fifth of the Maamar Kamos. So the Ramah is following after the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch, not surprising, just quotes the Rambam. We have machlokes Tosfos and Rambam, so 99% of the time the Shulchan Aruch is going to quote the Rambam. One exception is there is Hanukkah. That's one exception. Ready? Sorry, too much Hanukkah. Never too much Hanukkah, but not in Yom Yom right now. But 99% of the time, the Shulchan Aruch is going to quote the Shittas of Rambam. So it's not surprising that the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rambam here also, and just says you have to wait 6 hours and finish, end of discussion. So for Sfaradim, pretty much the issue is over. For the Sfaradim, they follow the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch. 6 hours is nothing to negotiate. But the Ramah quotes the following practice. In the fifth of the Ramah Kamos, in Siman Pei Tes, in Yodeh Sif Aleph Agah, the Aminik HaPoshet Lemdinas Elu, he says, the standard practice in these countries, in the Ashkenazi countries, at his point was, L'hamtin Acher Achilas HaBosar, Sho Achas. They would wait 1 hour after eating meat, V'ochel Nechakach Gvina, he said, and then they would eat cheese. Where in the world is that comfort? We never heard of that shear of an hour. So Ramah continues, Mi Yitzvichem Mevarech Gam Kein Bechus HaBosan Acher HaBosar, So what the Ramah says is as follows. The Ramah says that the minig was to do two things. Was to wait an hour and also to bench. Because where did this come from? So the Poskim explained that the Ramah basically held like Tosfos. That the Ikra Din, the Ramah held like Tosfos, that really it's enough just to bench. That's the Ikra Din. That's called Misud Lasuda. Where did the hour get into the equation? So the Vunagon points out on this Ramah that there is a statement in the Zohar. So the Zohar says that you have to be careful not to eat basar and gvina b'shay tachadar in 1 hour. So based on the Zohar, the minig came l'chumra to add on an hour. So it comes out that the Ramah's hour is not a kula, it's a chumra. The Ramah's real din is just bench, mitosis. And then he says, and l'yesus eis, there's a chumra b'yama. And by the way, if you want to be machmir for the Zohar, so add on an hour. So it comes out that the Shulchan Aruch is passing straight like the Rambam, 6 hours. And the Ramah seems to be passing pretty much like Tosfos, just kind of threw in an hour as a l'yesus eis. But then the Ramah makes reference back to the original Psach of the Rambam. V'yesh bedachtkim, at the end of that Ramah, V'yesh bedachtkim lahamtim sheishos achor chilos basar v'gvina. There are those who have the practice to wait 6 hours, which is the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch. And the Ramah writes, V'chei nochon lasas, And the Ramah agrees to that minhag. So even though the Ramah first said the minhag apashut, that most people were not following that in the Ashkenazi communities in the days of the Ramah, but the Ramah himself gives more strength to the other minhag, the minhag of the Mechaber and the Rambam, and he really recommends that one should follow that minhag. So at this point it seems to come out that this is pretty much a breakdown, Chachmei Ashkenaz and Chachmei Sfarad. The Sfaradim were very machmer in this. They said 6 hours, not negotiable. The Ramah, Meikra, didn't help. Really like Tosfos, benching is enough. If you want an hour just for the Zohar, but then the Ramah backpedals a little bit and says Tochel Masos, we should really all follow the Rambam. So just in case anybody thought that is the Minhag Ashkenaz today, so the Shach and the sixth of the Maamar Kamos, the Shach and your Yerdei Pekdes writes Zechein Nochel Masos. But that which the Ramah writes is a nice thing to do. The Chen Kosev Marshal, that was the Shach writes, that was the Minhag of the Marshal, was also to insist on 6 hours. The Chen Roy Lasos, the Chol Mishiyesh Bo Reach Torah, Ayin Shom. So I can't exactly give you the precise translation of Reach Torah, but it sounds like something we'd all like to have. I mean, someone who smells from Torah. I mean, someone who's acting appropriately should follow the custom of 6 hours. So whereas the Ramah kind of presented as a little bit of a Chumah B'Yamah, the Shach and the Marshal, and basically just about the overwhelming majority of the later Poskim, all quote this, and this has become the overwhelming majority view, even within became the later Ashkenazi communities.
Okay, so there
are different opinions about that. There are some Rabbanim who urge that, and the other Rabbanim who said they're minig 3 hours and not mechir to change. So the question is, it's unclear on the page in Shulchan Aruch where anything in the middle came from. It means the 1 hour we understand, that's the Zohar's Chumrah added on to the Ramah's Rabbeinu Tam, the Tosfos Nikra Din, that benching is good enough. The Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam and the Shach and the Marshal, that he also 6 hours, that we also got. But where in the world did the 3 hours come from? So if you look in the Rishonim, you don't see it explicitly. If you look in the Shulchan Aruch, you don't see it explicitly. So we know that such a custom exists in the German community, many of the German communities, such a custom existed. And the question is, what exactly is it based on? What's the source of it? So there are some who suggest that maybe it's based on the following. That maybe it's based on the Lashna Gemara itself. When the Gemara speaks about Mesu'udah L'Su'udah, so we saw different versions of what Mesu'udah L'Su'udah meant. So some presented Mesu'udah L'Su'udah to mean that it's an objective number, 6, that was the Rambam. Some, Balei Tosfos said, it just means you personally bench and that's all over. But there really is a third logical possibility. And the third logical possibility is that maybe it depends on the time and place, on that culture. How much time is approximately between meals? Not an absolute objective number like the 6 hours that Rambam was describing. Maybe it depends. L'fiyah makom, l'fiyah zman. So we know that there were places in the world that used to eat smaller meals during the course of the day. They didn't have 3 big meals. The middle meals also didn't exist in the old world. In the ancient world, until 200 years ago, nobody ate lunch. There was Suda's Boka, there was Suda's Erev. Lunch was an innovation. There was more food around, so people started to eat lunch. That's the reason why we have Suda Shalishas on Shabbos, to show that Shabbos is special. We have an extra meal, above and beyond the Call of Duty, we have a third meal on Shabbos. But on in a regular weekday, so Chazal described the Suda's Boka, the Suda's Erev. But there were communities, there were places in the world that rather than having big meals, they had smaller meals spaced out throughout the day. So if you have, there were some places that used to have actually 5 meals. So if you spread out 5 meals over the course of the day, it's going to come out to approximately 3 hours between meals. So some suggest, I'm not going to write, that maybe that's where the minhag came from. They were assuming that the spacing of the meals that Chazal were describing is lav dafka, misudas boka, misudas erev, maybe it's smaller snack kinds of meals during the course of the day. So whatever it is, there are 3 different minhagim that exist within Klal Yisrael today. There's what's become the Sfaradi minhag for sure 6 hours, and the overwhelming majority of Ashkenazi Jews have basically adopted that practice also, based on the Ramah and the Shach, Ramah's recommendation, the Shach's insistence. Then you have the German minhag that has this idea that, again, doesn't have its roots in the Shulchan Aruch itself, but this notion of the 3 hours probably corresponding to smaller types of meals. And then you have those who follow the original minhag of the Ashkenazim, the original minhag of the Ramah, the original minhag of the Balei Tosfos, that pretty much benching does everything, but then the Yeses, they threw in the idea of waiting an hour. That last minhag almost doesn't exist anymore, but it does exist a little bit in the just Dutch communities. So those Jews who have descendants from Dutch communities still have that practice. Remember when I was a Rav in Paramus, one of the first Shabbosim that I was there was Pashas Vayera. So I gave a shiur in Halacha that week about Bosa V'Cholov, about Avram and the Malacha not waiting for Bosa V'Cholov. So I spoke about these Dinim of Bosa V'Yachav Vina. So I mentioned that minig, and I mentioned very, very much in passing, saying, yeah, in the days of the Ramah was a problem. Minig was not as that. I probably used the phrase like nobody does it anymore, maybe just the Yechidei school have it. Little did I know, I had just come to the community maybe a couple of weeks ago, there was a bar mitzvah, not at that Shabbos. I didn't know the family all that well. It turns out that the father of a mitzvah boy was born in Amsterdam, and his whole family was there. They were all there from Amsterdam. So here the young rabbi gets up and gives the whole speech out. Nobody follows that minig anymore. 20 people left and said, nobody follows it. We follow it. Sorry, I didn't mean to. You don't see laws in your minig. Just be careful when you say nobody does anything anymore. Anyway, getting back to this story. So the basic sugya we have, and it all ultimately revolves around this idea of how do you define besudah l'suda. But in passing, we also saw that the Gemara originally presented this this din. So the Gemara presented the order, namely if it's ochel basal or ochel gvina, but vice versa, didn't seem to be any problem whatsoever. Apparently, the reasons for the original insert don't apply from milchik to fleshik. Either reasons of Bosa ben Shinehem, doesn't apply, not Bosa ben Shinehem, and presumably the tam of Reach HaPeh, whatever's left over in your mouth, so that taste, or that whatever the residue is left over, that taste, apparently doesn't concern us when you're going from milchiks to fleshes. That seems to be the Ikvah Hadith.
All this posting counting from the last moment you ate flesh?
Okay, oh, hopefully we'll talk about that at the end. So comes the Ramon, the seventh of the Ramon Kabbalah. Look at the back of the page, the first, the end of the first line. This is the beginning of the second line already. In the back of the page, V'yesh machmirin, afilu b'bosu achagvina. So the Ramah says that there are some who are machmir not to have meat after they had cheese. Where in the world did that come from? The Gemara said the Pharisee says mutter. What's that based on? So it's based on Amaram Rutenberg. What did Amaram Rutenberg say it for? So the Rishonim quote a story that happened to the Amaram Rutenberg. That once he was eating cheese, and they finished eating cheese, and then it's a little bit later he ate meat, and lo and behold, as he was eating the meat, he found there was a piece of cheese stuck in between his teeth. Like Habasa ben Shinev, Hagvina ben Shinev. So he felt very, very bad about it. That it turns out, I mean, he didn't have to be concerned about it, but he felt bad that it turns out that basically, by mistake, he was eating, in effect, Basa b'chalav. So he was makabel himself a chumrah not to eat meat immediately after eating cheese. He would wait a little while before he would eat the meat. That was a personal chumrah that the Ram Rutenberg accepted. But Ram Rutenberg was the Gadol HaDor. All the Chachmei Ashkenaz pretty much learned by him. The Rosh learned by him, and the Mordechai learned by him. And goes, all the Gedolei Rishonim of Ashkenaz at that period all learned by him. So slowly but surely, if the Rebbe has a certain chumrah, so the Talmidim started to pick it up also. That chumrah spread and spread within a generation or two. Everyone was holding from the same chumrah. So the question is now what do we do with this? Are we really bound by this? Was this just a personal Talmidis Chasidus? It's not really has any relevance in the halacha. So there were different opinions about this. So the Maharshal was vehemently opposed to this chumrah. The Maharshal says that he thought that this chumrah, if you want to, as an individual, you have a personal Midas Chasidus, that's one thing. But to start to spread it for the Rabbim, the Maharshal said he thought that was not correct at all. He thought it was against the Gemara. He says, the Gemara says the Feirish. Achol basa le'yachol gvina. Achol gvina, yachol basa. The Gemara says there's no fear. So again, you want to have a personal Midas Chasidus, that's okay. But to go promulgate it for the Rabbim, he thought that was incorrect. So most of the later poskim didn't accept the Maharshal. They thought that no, that even though the Gemara says it's mutter, that they point out that you see back that story about Marukva, that Marukva's father also had Midas Chasidus in this area. That this was a common thing, that you had things that were Me'ikar Adin in the area of Bas Mechav, and then you see Minhagim that developed as Chum as a Siyagim. So if Klal Yisrael, the Ashkenazi communities, wanted to follow this practice of the Maharam Rutenberg, so the later poskim thought that it was okay. You know, we don't have to come down against it. We can sanction the adopting of this minig. And that has become a minig as well. But we assume that there is some kind of a problem of eating meat even after eating cheese. But the Ramah writes, that's not always true. So the Ramah writes that that's the minig if it's a very hard kind of a cheese. If it's a softer kind of a cheese, apparently the reasons don't apply. If it's a harder kind of a cheese, then the reasons perhaps would apply. And that's what the minhag is. V'yesh makilim, not everybody follows this minhag. V'ein limchos, he says if the person doesn't follow this minhag, you don't have to make a whole to-do about it. Rak shiyasu kinuach v'adachos v'sidayim, but if a person is not waiting X amount of time from cheese to meat, even on the hard cheeses, he should at least wash out his mouth with a salad, with a liquid, wash his hands. Yotov l'achmur. But the Ramos says the correct thing to do is to follow this practice of the Maharim Rutham. So that's what our minhag has become. Most of our communities, that if a person eats the Gevina Kosha, one should in fact refrain from eating meat. How long should one refrain? So the Poskim write, whatever your shear is from flesh to milk. So if you wait 6 hours from meat to milk, you should wait 6 hours from hard cheese as well. The question becomes, what's considered to be hard cheese? What meets the criteria of hard cheese? So the Poskim can talk about, I'm not such an expert in the cheese making procedures, but my little knowledge of making cheese comes from one video that I saw. I know I told the story over here, but it's somewhat of a humorous background to this. My knowledge of cheese making goes back about, at least 10 summers ago. I was in California, not even more than that. I was learning the Sechas of Edizara, the second Berakha of Edizara, and some of the sugars of Venus Akam and Kalav Akam, all those sugars of Machos Asuras come up. So I was learning a lot about the cheese making process, and I realized I didn't really know too much about it. So I asked one of the Rabbonim in town, who was very much involved in Kashrus, I asked him, does he have any good sources, any good video or something, any good book, anything to read for the layman, just to describe to me, just the ABCs of making cheese, so at least I'll be able to approach this thing with a little bit of intelligence. So he said that, yeah, he had one video that he recommends. Anyone who's learning those sugyas should watch this one video. It was made to teach a little bit, teach you a little bit of how to make cheese. So he said to me, it happens to be, it was made as a kiddies video. It was to teach children the cheese making process. But he said, he recommended it, he said it's a very good video. So I was thinking to myself, when am I going to watch this video? I said, it's a good time. Later in the afternoon on Tisha B'Av is a good time to watch this. Why? This is not Talmud Torah. It's teaching me about cheese. I'm going to use the information I get to learn the sugyas of Avodah Zarah after Tisha B'Av is over. But I don't think there's any history. I'm watching this 5, 6 o'clock. I'm not learning anything anyway. You're tired from Kamtzer Bar Kamtzer already is tired. You're not doing anything anyway. So I'm going to watch the video. So Kach Avos, I took the video. He gave me the video. So I did 5, 6 o'clock in the afternoon on Tisha B'Av. I pop it in and start to watch it. And then it was a kid's video, so it had music, it had like farmer, and all the farm songs. So it has, so I'm sitting there and watching, it's the Tisha B'Av afternoon, and this one's singing, and that one's singing, and I'm singing, it's pastish, I couldn't bring myself to watch it in Tisha B'Av, so I watched that, and afterwards, whenever I watched it. So my entire cheese making knowledge is based on that farmer and whatever farmer singing with the cows, not making cheese. So the bottom line is that the Post can point out that certain kinds of cheeses are problematic and other cheeses are not problematic. Those who are interested in finding out which cheese is yes, which cheese is no, so I could say just to Google it. If you ask me which ones, I can look up the same online as you do. So there's somebody who works for the OU whose entire job is in cheese. He's in charge of the cheese part of the OU. So he did all the research and he put out an article and he made all the list of all the cheeses in America that are a problem, all the cheese in Eretz Yisrael that are a problem, all the cheese in Europe that are a problem. They're not always the same. Different, like similar brands, like, I'm not mistaken, I think cheddar in America is okay, cheddar in Europe is not okay. They're different kinds and made in slightly different ways. So he's got the list exactly which cheeses are considered to be a problem or not. Then you have further machlokes about, even if you have a cheese that's considered to be a hard cheese, if the cheese is melted in to the food, is that considered to be a problem or not? That becomes part of the lasagna issues and the pizza issues and those kinds of shilas. Again, there are technical details as to exactly how far this minig goes. But basically, if it's one of those cheeses that are on the not approved list, so then the minig is that we try to wait the 6 hours in deference to this minig that was started in the days of the Maharim Rutham. The Ramah has in fact accepted the halacha / the Taras minig. The question was raised, common shaila, about when we say one has to wait 6 hours, that minig has become, those of us follow the minig of the Ram, the Shulchan Aruch, and the Marshal, and the Shach, that we wait 6 hours. So there's a question, the Poskim, how exactly do you calculate those 6 hours? Do the 6 hours end from when the meal ends, or do the six hours begin from when the meal ends? Do the 6 hours begin from when the meat part of the meal ends? That was actually Machlekes of Poskim. It appears that the minig is lahotzel. Most people are pretty lenient about this, that as soon as they finish eating their meat part, even though they're schlutz, they're having dessert, they're eating zmiris, they're schmoozing, it takes another hour till benching, so as long as they finish their meat part, so that would be okay. What if a person doesn't remember exactly what time they finished? So many poskim and mekel, that if you think there's a good chance that it's already 6 hours, it's probably okay. And we can even apply a little bit of a sveika. That maybe 6 hours have passed, and maybe it hasn't. And even if the 6 hours hasn't quite passed, so we still have Tosfos to rely on. It's more than an hour. It's more than after benching already. So steak was obviously okay.
Is there any mukbar for the midnight sometimes into the sixth hour?
Yeah, so that's a throwback right to the Rambam. When the Rambam says kibosheh shal, so some want to argue the Rambam meant as long as it's a little bit into the sixth hour, that would be okay. So I always tell people that they have a particular psach, a particular minhag, you know, in their family to do that. I can't say it's not to follow it. There is some grounds for it. But if a person doesn't have any minhag like that, I think the more standard minhag, I think, is the way to full 6 hours.
Is not even fish and meat related to this
sugya
at all?
No, the fish and meat is a different story. That's the Gemara says it's the initial sakon, and the question is that when we apply this manazah, that's a different one.
Salt cheeses also, there's a fairly common hamavah that people will wait a half hour.
Yeah, so that's probably based on the Zohar.
I heard used to say that that's not
necessary. Yeah, so that idea is based on the Zohar, because the Zohar says that you shouldn't have the meat and cheese within meat and milk within an hour. Within the same hour, so some said, well, it's more than a half hour, so it's rubik kula. It's ready, it's a lumbish azayah, whatever that means. So I first heard about that from my grandmother. My grandmother used to tell me that it's in Europe, where she came from, that was a minute. You waited a half hour after having any kind of milk before having pleasure. Some have that minute, some don't.
The thing that Sia says, if one eats even salt cheese, cottage cheese, and many dairy products, that they can get stuck between the teeth. Maharam
was
right. Why would
Maharam
say that it's mukhtar? The whole idea is that I don't
want to
eat meat and cheese at the same. What's the difference?
Right. Apparently, meat is more susceptible to getting stuck. Some of that was because if you eat cheese, so then we pass it, you have to kinuch badacha. If you have cheese, even if you don't follow this Maharam, you still have to wash out your mouth. You have to clean out your mouth. That's what Rashi had, the Rambam had a comment, that the bosa really gets stuck, that even if you'll be mekaneach, she'eno sabi kinuch. So the Rambam makes it sound like the meat is something that's so strong, it's going to get stuck, it's going to be hard to remove. Whereas the cheese and the stuff is not going to get so stuck. That's what the Maharam said. But if it's certain kinds of cheeses, you see that it doesn't get stuck. And Maharam said, hurrah, it got stuck. So that's what the Maharam extended that idea of bosa. But the other Rishonim said that it's not true. Apparently held that it's unlikely. You know, the whole thing is there, but anyway, so Eimon L'chadish Chumus Nasmin. I mean, did he personally wait? I don't think he personally waited 6 hours. I think he was from the Balei Taisus. He probably waited Mixud L'Suda, Fadenshin, whatever the number was. Or maybe the hour. I don't know exactly what he waited. I'm not sure. Okay. All right. So next week, I'm not going to be here next week. So next Wednesday night is no show. So Henry, maybe we'll send that email.
Thank you.